much about. So easy.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Hey man, where are you going? You're missing the best part.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
I'm just an average girl who is just crazy about my career. But there's one thing that's different about me, and that's that I was born with one arm.
I want to go on record as saying that this is a very bad idea.
Now, Jonathan, let me ask you a question. Project X, if you could sum it up in less than 5 words for people who have no idea what the movie's about. What can you say?
I want to whip his behind. That's what I want to do right now. If I thought they wouldn't take me to jail, I'd whip his behind right now.
Wow, that sounds fantastic.
I know.
You're not that funny. But the good news is this business has nothing to do with funny.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Tuesday, the 13th of August.
Watching the news this morning, and they're all out in front of all the schools. I guess today's the biggest back-to-school day of the fall.
Yes, in L.A.
Hundreds of thousands of L.A. Students showing up. And all of the grown-ups who are working at the school seem so excited about school being back in.
Really?
And I just remember how miserable I was as a kid the first day of school. Like, you, at least for me, I just dreaded that. Were you guys like that?
Oh, yeah, it's the worst.
Yes. The end of summer? It's the parents that are excited. They get the kids back in school.
Exactly. Get rid of their kids for 8 hours a day, right? I mean, I'm sure there are some kids who are excited about seeing their friends again, or getting the opportunity to get out of the house and do something because maybe they're bored. I'm sure there are kids that like that.
Maybe
their parents
work them all summer. That's what my parents did.
Yeah, you're on the farm or something.
Yeah, pretty much.
Please, let me go back to school. It's so funny to see how happy the grown-ups look on the news this morning talking about school. That's not my recollection of back to school, I'll tell you that.
Not at all.
We got a huge Kevin and Bean Show for you today, but I want to start with something that Lisa, I'm sure you saw this in the news yesterday, this new announcement from Elon Musk. You guys know Elon Musk. You familiar with that name, Kevin?
No, I'm not.
He's my personal hero. He's a genius. He's a billionaire. He owns PayPal, for starters.
Wow.
He's also the guy that started SpaceX, which is that private space exploration contest where they're trying to get citizens to, since the government won't do it anymore, figure out better ways to get into space and do things. He also owns the Tesla Motor Company.
So we like that.
He's rich. Yes. This dude's rich and innovative and has lots of great ideas. And he, after hearing about it for a long time, yesterday was the day that he finally unveiled the Hyperloop.
Hyperloop.
Oh,
the
I did hear about this. It sounds too scary, and I don't think I'll do it.
The Hyperloop is awesome. Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, you'll die.
He makes an excellent point that I have thought about for a long time, which is that we don't seem to invest in infrastructure much in this country anymore. And maybe it's because we have too many other things going on that are shiny that get our attention. But, look at the roads. The roads, many of the roads in this country are 50, 60 years old. They're just falling apart.
Yeah.
And we're not coming up with any better plans. I mean, we got, plans on how to transport people. We've got, it just seems so old-fashioned. Remember when we used to think there would be jetpacks?
Yeah, those were the days.
Right? We thought there were going to be jetpacks because when you look at it, it's kind of dumb the way we have to go around. Compared to what you see in sci-fi movies, the way that we travel around on roads, on cement, on asphalt, seems pretty archaic already.
Yeah, and our flying cars, too.
Where the hell are the flying cars? Well, the Hyperloop basically is you get into it, it's like a subway car or something like that. Here's the description. It would entail sleek pods that travel within low-pressure tubes that are nearly airless. The pods would hover on a cushion of air floating above thin skis on a custom metal alloy. Air sucked from an intake in front of the pod would be compressed and ejected beneath to levitate it above the metal sleeve of its tube. Electromagnets would zap the craft forward at high speeds. Kevin, the plan is, if they can build this thing, that you can go from Los Angeles to San Francisco in about 30 minutes.
Wow.
Is that unbelievable?
That would be awesome. What does it take to drive now? About 5 hours?
Yeah,
something like that. It's called a Hyperloop, again, and you get into this tube, and it's like being on a, it's like the way a puck goes on an air hockey, game or something like that. It just zips. And he announced it yesterday, and he said, he's got a lot of details on it about how the thing runs, and 28 passengers per pod, for instance. System would be self-sustaining, can far generate in excess of the energy needed to operate it, solar powers on the top. I mean, it's got all sorts of stuff going for it. Huh. He also says, I'm not going to build it, though, to somebody else to build it.
What?
I'm just throwing it out there. Look, here are my plans. Here's the work that I put into it, but I'm too busy with SpaceX and Tesla to actually build this thing. But somebody should, because it would be cool.
I'm telling you, that would be cool for everybody if somebody else would take this over.
Yeah, no one's going to do that if he doesn't do it.
Imagine going to Vegas that way.
Yeah, that would be the 1-2 punch.
A flight.
Yeah.
Yes, and this is what he says. He's like, look, it's high time we had alternatives to driving and flying. But if we do, they have to be better than driving and flying, and that's what I've come up with is the Hyperloop. So you may be hearing that word a lot coming up in the days and weeks, and hopefully years to come. They think it would take about 2 years to put together the prototype, and then about 10 years to build it. But I mean, that's the type of long-term project it just doesn't seem like we do anymore.
But then it fails. So then you've got another 6 years to refigure it.
Right.
Well, rebuild it.
I hope it doesn't. I hope that somebody looks at this and is inspired by this and says, wow, let's check out the science. I mean, that's why he put it out there, is he open sourced it so that people, anyone can go and check it out and see if they think it'll work or not and start building prototypes and find out what the problems are that he hasn't imagined yet. I just think something like that would be awesome if they could do it. I wish we did more things like that.
I wish we did anything like that.
I wish we had the transporter like they did in Star Trek.
Sure. Yes. A lot of things we've been watching on TV and in the movies for years that I wish we had that just we don't seem to be getting any closer to.
Disappear and show up wherever you want to be.
Yes. Well, that would be the ultimate form of transportation. Yes. Absolutely. Hey, let's go to Paris for lunch. Okay.
That'd be rad. Somebody do that.
See?
Somebody out there do that. You guys.
Get back to us by noon.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin DeBean Show, shall we?
You're the kooky guy who doesn't know what he's talking about.
That's correct. comedian Jim Norton on the program today.
Yes.
We also have Cliff Kwong, I believe is how you say his name. He is the senior editor for Wired Magazine, and he's talking about 3D printing.
That's what I'm talking about.
It's what Bean's been crying about for about 3 months, trying to get somebody on, talking about 3D printing.
I love 3D printing.
If you believe the hype, they say you can print a working gun.
Mm-hmm.
You can print it.
That makes
on
no
a
sense
printer.
To me.
A car without an engine, but a car that I guess would work if you put an engine in it.
It seems to me that this is the beginning of a technology that could change the world. Look, why go down to the hardware store and buy a new door when you can just print one up in your house? Install it.
There's got to be a fault to that somewhere.
It's
doesn't
more
it?
Complicated. It's got to be more complicated than that. Than I have a printer.
Somebody's going to have like
a
cardboard door that's like half 2D.
Don't I need special materials?
It just seems like it's not going to work.
We'll find out. I mean, it's new. It's new-ish technology, but we'll find out where it's going. Wired's a great magazine. It's a great place to start.
We have a brand new scientific survey for you, and Bean cannot get his head around the fact that anyone disagrees with him on this one, which I find funny. I can't get around the fact that anyone disagrees with me, so we'll figure it out. We'll get five calls, random. We have a brand new edition of Would You Like to Take That Back?
Uh-oh. Oh, yes, we do.
We have lies you told to get out of tickets. We're going to take your calls in the 7 o'clock hour. The cop pulled you over, and you told him, my dad's dying. I'm just going to see him quick. And then they will follow up on that, by the way. They'll call wherever, the hospital or wherever, yeah.
Damn it.
Yeah, they'll follow right up on that. So you don't really get a chance to do that. But we're going to give our listeners a chance to tell us what lies they told to get out of the ticket. And we're going to come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53.
It is Tuesday morning. Ralph Garman joins us in studio for our first look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Well, a good thing happened for a Kevin. Can you believe it?
Huh?
Been a good day for Kevin's.
Really?
That is not usually the case.
I know. You must be so happy for your people. It's a banner day.
Well, let's hear it.
Are you guys going to do a parade or something?
I haven't heard the story yet.
Well, first of all, Kevin Federline got married.
He's one of the best Kevins.
I mentioned yesterday that he had gotten his marriage license when he and his longtime girlfriend Victoria Prince went to Vegas. Well, they tied the knot. The very next day, apparently, they got married on Saturday evening at the Hard Rock Hotel in Las Vegas. And
how did they keep all the paparazzi away?
I can't
imagine.
They must have had choppers flying over the hotel trying to get photos. So that's good news for a Kevin, right?
Sure.
And then, did you hear about the casino in Cincinnati that gave away their big promotional grand prize of $1 million to one of the gamblers on their floor named Kevin Lewis.
I did not hear about this.
Mm-mm.
Kevin Lewis walks up to the promotional booth there at the Horseshoe Casino in Cincinnati and said, I'm here to collect my million-dollar prize. You called my name. Well, they gave Kevin his giant-sized novelty check, and they took a bunch of photos, and they celebrated. And then they realized, to their chagrin, they had not considered the fact that there may be more than one Kevin Lewis on the floor at the casino that day. They gave the money to the wrong Kevin Lewis.
Are you kidding me?
And then they realized they had no choice but to give the $1 million also to the right Kevin Lewis. So that day, two Kevin Lewises walked out of the casino with the promotional $1 million grand prize.
How about that?
So
it is a banner day for Kevins.
Two Kevins were made millionaires this past weekend.
We are having a party.
You're going to have a party again. Federline's going to be there. Popo Zawin.
Right.
The millionaires are going to bring some.
make it rain.
Make it rain over you guys. And all the Kevins will get naked and start dancing together.
Hey, whoa.
And slip and slide filled with vegetable oil. It's going to be a good time.
There'll be a party bus for sure.
No, it's all a party bus. Our party bus there is Eve W. Ladbat.
She'll be there.
She'll be there.
It's plus one, right? Kevin can bring her.
Of course.
By the way, I don't think we've mentioned on the air that we need to thank the Kevin and Bean listener who started the Eve W. Ladbat Twitter account.
I know.
Oh, really?
The problem is all he tweets me is XPKKRPTTTVVSUSUSULLKJRKPT.
That's about all Kevin tweets, too, so it's about the same.
How dare you. Congratulations to 69-year-old movie legend George Lucas as he enjoys his new baby girl. Yes, he and his new bride, Melody Hobson, welcomed a baby girl into their family last Friday.
He's almost 70 and he's got to change diapers?
Oh, he ain't changed
sure diapers. Sure he does. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
He's not going to change diapers. He's just going to have them altered computer animation. He's going to have the diapers erased, computer CGI, and then put new diapers on top of it.
I just assumed all those little people who played the Ewoks just worked for George Lucas. He just has them, you know, at the ranch.
That's
just
the staff.
Taking care of all his chores.
Makes sense. Melody and George had the baby via surrogate. That's why she didn't look pregnant at the wedding. And it joins Lucas's family of 32-year-old daughter Amanda, 25-year-old daughter Katie, and 20-year-old son Jet. In the family, and now he's got a brand new baby girl at 69 years old.
Wow.
Listen. You will die, George.
That's true. That is
true. From the sleep deprivation alone, unless you put the child in some sort of hermetically sealed hyperbaric chamber, you don't hear the screaming. You're going to die at 69 if you have a newborn.
Yeah.
Can't handle it. I have a 3-year-old, and I'm almost dead myself right now.
I'm wondering about those adult kids. You don't hear much about those, Ralph, but you think they were jumping up and down and waving their arms when George Lucas was talking about selling Lucasfilm to Disney, then giving all the money away?
Yeah, I think they probably
were like, hey, Dad, hey, over here.
How about give the drummer some, huh, Dad?
Right.
It's easy to put up with all the Star Wars jokes my whole life. A little something for my troubles.
I was counting on that.
Yeah. And Kris Jenner is firing back at our president, Barack Obama.
Really?
Oh, she's going to take him down.
She is. Remember the statement I read last week where the president came out and said that the American dream he knew and loved is unrecognizable now due to a changing culture in America as we know it. He said there was not that window into lifestyles of the rich and famous when he was growing up. Kids weren't monitoring every day what Kim Kardashian was wearing or whether Kanye West was going on vacation and thinking that somehow that was the mark of success. Boom! Well,
wow, that's a very savvy analysis right there.
Thank you, Harvey. But Kris Jenner would not take that lying down. She said yesterday, I wasn't aware that we could only set the bar so high, that we could only dream so big. What? I was taught, dream big, work hard, and you can have whatever you wanted. I don't know what she's talking about
What
yet,
is she talking
but
about?
I know this part. She said, well, first of all, Kanye West doesn't go on vacation.
What?
Okay.
Okay. And then, this is my favorite part, and Kim Kardashian is the hardest working young lady in the world. She never sleeps. She never stops. She never slows down. And she works so hard for what she's got.
Yes, she does.
She, it's true. She has opened every orifice to get what she's got. What? Who does she think she's kidding? Like, we don't know who Kim Kardashian is?
Yeah, it's true.
She's the hardest working young lady in the world.
Wow. 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 Not women out there that are single moms with three jobs.
Yes! By the way, Ralph, just for clarification, I don't think the president was saying there weren't always wealthy people. Wasn't he making a comment on how public everything is now with the Twitter and the Instagram and the reality shows and everything like that? Is now kids can sit at home and see all that opulent wealth being in somebody's life, right?
But he was also talking about the glorification of the material itself. Instead of the people who did something to achieve fame and fortune, now everyone seems to be focused on the actual clothing, the vacation, that is the goal as opposed to being successful for something.
Right.
See, the American dream used to be you worked hard at something and then you're rewarded for doing something at the end of that. Now the focus seems to be on just on the having.
Maybe he didn't realize how hard Kim worked.
I guess he didn't. He probably didn't know that she is. Once again, if you don't mind me reading this quote, Kim Kardashian is the hardest working young lady in the world.
Oh, f*** you.
En todo el mundo.
That's strong even for Kris Jenner.
She needs another drink so that she'll fall down a flight of stairs.
Why hasn't her TV show been canceled yet, if it's even still on?
I don't know. I know nothing about that show.
Has anyone seen one second of it?
I can't get it. I've tried to get it on my television set. My television just flips me off and then turns itself off. I don't know.
Just says nope.
Nope. Today's celebrity birthdays, Debbie Mazar. 49 years old today. What a talented actress she is. She can do it all. Comedy, drama. I love her. John Slattery, talking about talented. He, of course, of Mad Men fame.
Sure.
He directed a bunch of episodes this past season, too.
He's the best as Bill Seward, the ad guy.
Yes, Bill Seward.
Bill Seward is correct.
Yeah, taking a stab.
No, he's Roger Sterling on that show.
Roger Sterling, right.
And actor, radio host, legend, Danny Bonaducci celebrates his 54th birthday today. The most soothing voice in radio. Nothing better than waking up to that in the morning.
What's Bonaducci like? And they said, well, the teachers hate him and they throw him out of class all the time.
All he's missing is the box.
My name is Danny Bonaducci.
I'm Ralph Garman. I work at Showbiz.
We can open up the phone lines right now, by the way, if you want to be part of a Kevin and Bean scientific survey. We're looking for people. We can't tell you what the topic is because we don't want you to have an opinion before you call. We'll explain it on the air in a couple of minutes. 1-800-520-1067. We'll put you on hold for a few minutes, then we'll talk to you coming up.
First, let's do this.
Would you like to take that back?
Hey! First, let's do this.
Would you like to take that back? Would you like to take that back? Tell me, would you, if you could, you would you take that back? Would you like to take that back? Would you like to take that back? Tell me, would you, if you could, you would you take that back?
Don't be skimping on the theme song.
Yeah, really.
That's our favorite part of the bit. Man.
I'd like to take back screwing up the theme song, by the way.
All right, put that in the file for next time.
All right. First clip is Ralph doing showbiz.
Nope.
And he's doing the birthdays, and Bean is fresh from vacation, just came back.
Oh, tanned, rested, and ready.
And must immediately force his way right into the file.
Today's celebrity birthdays, rapper M.I.A. turns 38 years
old. Does anyone know where she is?
Wow!
But I just...
He's back from vacation already. He's just...
file.
He's just got a crowbar, and he's just prying the file open so he can stuff his jokes in.
I understand the joke. It's just terrible.
You guys don't get it.
Would you like to take that back?
We get it.
Wow.
We are not fans.
We get it all too well, Seth.
Would you like to take that back?
That's the question.
The question is, would you like to take that back? Hells no. Are you kidding me? I love that one. Her name is M.I.A.
Right. We
get that.
Still don't get it.
We got it the first time. We don't find it funny.
Nope.
Would you like to take that back?
Wow.
All right. Ralph is doing birthdays again, and he's talking about Tina Turner, and this is Dean.
Another showbiz news. Congratulations to Tina Turner. She got married last weekend at the age of 73.
This is my least favorite kind because Bean has to get somebody else's participation to get the joke out.
Yeah.
So he forces Ralph to answer his question.
You have a question, Bean?
Well, I did. I don't want to screw up your joke.
Oh, but. Since when?
do you think that Tina Turner loves her new husband?
Oh, I don't even know where this is going, but I know it's not going to pay off.
I think he's expecting to say, what's love got to do with it?
Yay! Thank you very much.
Would you like to take that back?
Come on. Yeah, I'll take that back.
All right, good. All right.
That was pretty sloppy.
Am I absolved then as an accomplice? Do I also get off the hook if he takes that back?
You are absolved as the accomplice, yes.
You only opened the safe because I had a gun to your head.
That's right.
So you're absolutely
under duress.
You're completely blameless.
However, now Bean has left the bank and you're holding the gun.
What?
Apparently at the wedding they will be doing the dollar dance where you get to dance with the bride. She will be a private dancer, a dancer for money.
Boom!
At the ceremony.
See what he did there?
He's so excited.
Come on, Kevin. We don't need another hero. You don't have to join in and try to play.
F you. Both.
Would you like to take that back?
Come on. No way.
What?
That was awesome.
Would you like to take that back?
No. I'm laughing now. Here again. You're laughing too, by the way.
You're laughing. All right. So Ralph's doing the showbiz, and he's talking about Sam Worthington. And of course, Bean can't resist.
Sam Worthington has got that new movie Drift out today about Australian surfing. He is 37 years old.
Is his dog Spot in it?
Put that in the file with prejudice.
Would you like to take that back?
There was a guy for years.
It's
a car dealer. Commercials.
We get
dog.
It.
Look, very rarely is somebody named Worthington in the news. I got to go
Does
for it.
Does it make that joke funny?
Itself.
No, you don't.
I'm not taking it back.
You
I'm not taking
are
it back.
Bad on every level.
Spot and I will be right over here being very happy with that.
All right, so Ralph's talking about the Violent Femmes and how they lost their drummer and they're replacing him.
And the Violent Femmes reunion is over. The drummer, Victor De Lorenzo, quit on Tuesday. So the tour will go on, but with a new drummer. It won't be the original drummer anymore.
Wow. So he's gone, Daddy gone?
See what I mean?
Like you just got punched right in the gut.
Right there. It's just, I got an embolism. I got a bubble in my bloodstream, and now it's all over.
He played these summer festivals and got a blister in the sun? I'm just asking.
Ralph, just wrap it up.
All right, Lisa. I think that's a good idea.
Just, we got to add it up.
Yeah.
Oh, Dave.
Shut up.
E2.
Dave.
David.
What? Dave.
Go
listen,
on.
Listen to Dave laughing at Dave.
No one likes Dave more than Dave does.
That was awesome. Dave for the save. Woohoo! Bean, would you like to take that back?
Nope.
No. You're saying you no. Like you're saying you're back. Fine with that.
Is he gone, Daddy? God, he's the drummer for the Violent Femmes. How can I take that back? That needed to be said. That
it did not need to be said.
And I'm honored and proud to have my little friend Dave with the assist on that.
Come in with
too.
The save. Yeah. I saved it. He was hanging there, and I came in and picked him up and saved him. Yesterday, we were talking about Lady Gaga and her naked video for this spiritual guru.
Yes.
Marina, somebody, they're trying to do a Kickstarter where they're getting money so that she can start her studio. And
yeah, and this is a lady who puts Lady Gaga like naked out in the woods or something with a mask on and just yelling at the sky. And it's supposed to be some sort of a way to, I don't know, get back in touch with your humanity. I don't really understand what's happening.
So yesterday we were talking to Marina. What are you trying to raise money for here?
Sister's got to eat.
Sister's got to eat. Okay. What was that?
That's a llama.
Why is there a llama there?
Why do you have a llama?
It's a Dalai Lama.
Oh, wow.
You're going in the file, Marina.
Would you like to take that back?
Marina?
Hello?
Hi, welcome back to the show.
Namaste.
Namaste.
Namaste to you as well. So, right, okay. We actually don't have time for that.
Marina?
Marina? Okay.
Would you like to take that back?
What do you think?
I think you're probably standing by that.
Well, hello, Dolly.
Would you like to take that back?
So the answer is no?
Taking some calls right now at 1-800-520-1067 for a little feature we like to call Kevin and Bean's Scientific Survey.
It's time for Kevin and Bean's Scientific Survey.
All right, here's what happens is we get people on the line because we have a discussion in the office that we can't settle. I can't win Kevin over to my side. He can't win me over to his side. So that's when we throw it out to you, the audience, the jury, who decides what the right answer is on this question. And today's topic is about robots. They did a survey recently among 1,000 adults. This was conducted earlier this year. And they're talking about the future of robots. And the one that was the most controversial, people understand that robots are coming. People already see robots able to drive a car, for instance. People understand that robots are going to be used more in warfare. People would like to see robots used in lots of areas. They're very comfortable with the ideas of robots cleaning their homes, things like that. But one area, Kevin, seems to be very controversial with robots. And that's the idea of having sex with them.
Now, this is funny because yesterday, I think your comment was word for word, I don't understand why anyone would say no. That was your comment.
God.
Yes, of course.
Obviously. And my question was, are women still on the planet? Because women are still on the planet, infinitely better. The answer is no.
Women are, I believe in this scenario, in this future scenario where you have sex robots, I believe women do still exist, but that doesn't mean they're not still bitchy.
This is why they're not available to you.
Yes, they're bitchy to you, Bean. It's very specific.
This was shocking. Again, this is the number that surprised me. 9% of those surveyed indicated that they would have sex with a robot if they could. 9. Doesn't that seem incredibly low? We do stories all the time about people having sex with light switch covers and with couches and with vacuum cleaners. How can you be surprised? I mean, wouldn't you think that lots of people would want to have sex with a robot if it's something that's specifically built for sex?
I can't imagine that they would, because women are still in the option, right?
And men, by the way.
And men.
I assume the robots are for both sexes.
Sure.
It sounds painful to me.
So I'm saying 10%. Really, that's a pretty high number.
Look, women are still in the option, but people still masturbate.
Right.
But that's not having sex with a robot.
No, but what I'm saying is people sometimes want to have more sex than they have an available partner for timing purposes or relationship purposes or whatever. I'm saying a robot sounds like a pretty damned good backup if it's something that's built for.
Now he's rephrasing it to backup.
I'm not saying it would be your first choice or that the goal should be to replace a human partner, but I'm saying a robot sounds like a good deal to me. Put me down for a yes. Yes.
Put me down for a no.
Under no circumstances would you have sex with a robot.
Well, as long as women are available, that's correct.
Lisa, how about you? Robot, yes or no?
No.
Nope.
No, never?
That sounds horrible.
Not once?
No.
What?
All right. Well, let's find out what the kids say. 1-800-520-1067. Scientific survey. We had people call before they knew what the topic was, so they're not predisposed with an opinion on the topic. So we're just going to go down the line here.
All right.
Now, we discovered a long time ago that 5 is the scientific number. So if you get the best out of 5, then that's just science, right?
So if we get 3 in a row, one way or the other,
right?
It's settled.
Exactly. Yeah, it's settled and it can never be argued again. So let's start with Jonathan. He is on line 3. He's going to get us going. Jonathan, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You are on the jury. You have been impaneled. Sex with a robot, if you could, yes or no?
Negative.
Negative. All right. That's 1. I think we're only going to need 3. Let's go to Robert. Hi, Robert.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning, Robert.
Sex with a robot.
Absolutely not. And I knew Bean would like this. I knew he would.
Now, Robert, why no? I mean, use your imagination and think about how hot those robots could be after a couple of generations.
One reason. Because, if the robot was built for it, it would probably be so amazing, I'd never be able to get it up for a human again in my life.
That's a good
point. But you're still a no. So we have sort of 2 no's.
All right, Robert, thank you for the call. Let's go to David. He's up next here. He's on Live 5. David, you could be the most important person in the world right now because you could settle this argument once and for all. Sex with robots, yes or no?
I say absolutely not, and I'll tell you why. What if it malfunctions and we have a Lorena Bobbitt on our hands?
That's what I was thinking.
Oh, I didn't even think of that.
What about a glitch? Yes.
Didn't even think of that.
Yeah.
All right, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. How about that? We only had to take 3 calls, Bean.
You people have no vision at all. And when I'm having all the sex with robots, you people are going to be there lonely and sad.
I don't even want to think about that.
Enjoy.
You enjoy your robots. Never to be spoken of again.
That was Kevin and Bean Scientific
Circle. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:55.
I'm a-pickin', and I'm a-grinnin'.
A little bit of that. Hee-haw time, 6:55 here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Comedian Jim Norton on the show later on today. Also, what's up with 3D printing? That's all still to come. First, though, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday.
Has any man had a bigger erection for any technology ever than Bean has for 3D printing?
Guys, we have to talk about 3D printing. Hey, 3D printing.
I'm going to print all my food.
I think it's a game changer, you guys. I think you laugh, but I think in 10 years it's going to be something that's going to be in every home and is going to be used for a lot of things.
NASA's building a pizza printer. Stop it. Just go to a pizzeria and get a pizza.
He wants to have sex with robots.
No. He wants to eat cardboard pizza.
He wants to eat printed pizza.
I want to live in the future, all right?
Take your life.
Get it over with.
It's obviously where you're heading.
All right. It's Tuesday. That means new DVDs and CDs and stuff available for Entertainment Dollar. We'd like to give you the heads up of what's new today. Here's what you can get. If you didn't see Olympus Has Fallen in theaters with Aaron Eckhart and Morgan Freeman, you may want to pick it up. I liked it a lot. Gerard
Butler
also stars. I like that movie.
Hey, I came up with a name!
I know, I'm very impressed.
I'm very disappointed, by the way, because you've forgotten the rules.
Oh, sorry. The company you keep, rather. This is a movie I really wanted to see in theaters, and I just never got around to it. Nor did a lot of other people. But you can get it on DVD today. It stars Robert Redford and Nick Nolte and Stanley Tucci and Shia LaBeouf. If you want to check that out. What Maisie Knew, starring Julianna Moore and Alexander Skarsgård. The Big Wedding. Remember that thing? Remember The Big Wedding with Robert De Niro and Katherine Heigl? That hilarious wedding comedy?
I do not.
Looked hideous.
No,
just looked abominable in the trailer. You can check that out today as well. A Band Called Death. This is the documentary we talked to my buddy Scott Mosier about. Remember the original punk band? Three black guys, brothers, who all got together to form a band called Death? Anything's ringing a bell? Hello? Is this thing on?
Totally. I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to totally get this.
That's available on DVD today. And Emperor, starring Matthew Fox and Tommy Lee Jones. You can check that out as well. TV shows on DVD. Sad. Southland.
Yeah.
The complete fifth and final season. You can check that
out. But if you
out.
Haven't seen Southland, that's a great series to get on DVD.
Get all of them. Get all five seasons on box set and watch them all. The Mindy Project, season one.
Finally.
Girls, the complete second season. This isn't when she gets naked, is it? Is that
that's every season? Episode of every season.
Every episode.
We have to start collecting these DVDs and burning them. Once Upon a Time, the complete second season, also available. On CD, Ocean Avenue Acoustic by Yellow Card.
They're still a thing?
They are a thing, and they've got a new CD, so you can check that out.
It's their big hit for those of you that don't recognize the name.
Wheel in the sky keeps on turning.
That doesn't sound like them at all.
Kris Jenner, she's upset with President Obama because last week he slammed the Kardashian clan, talking about the changing culture in America where people are focused on the wrong things. He says the American dream he knew and loved growing up is now unrecognizable. Why? Well, the president said, there was not that window into the lifestyles of the rich and famous that America has today. Kids weren't monitoring every day what Kim Kardashian was wearing or where Kanye West was going on vacation and thinking that somehow that was the mark of success. As slams go, fairly light slam.
Yeah, I agree.
However, Kris Jenner took it to heart. And she responded with this statement. I wasn't aware that we could only set the bar so high, that we could only dream so big. I think you're missing what he's talking about, Chris. I was taught dream big, work hard, and you could have whatever you wanted. First of all, what did she dream and work hard and to get? What was her dream? I dream someday to have a bunch of attractive children, which I will then pimp out.
Yeah, to pimp out her kids.
I will marry well and marry wealthy men and then live off of them and expand an empire based on nothingness. Was that her dream?
I believe it sounds right.
Then it gets better. Well, Kanye West, first of all, doesn't go on vacation.
What?
Oh, okay. So all those trips to Paris and the yachts and all that stuff, that's all work? And then my favorite part of all. And Kim Kardashian is the hardest working young lady in the world.
Yes.
She never sleeps. She never stops. She never slows down. And she works so hard for what she's got, says Mother Kris Jenner.
Somebody tweeted, on her back.
Zing! Boom!
You liar!
Pow! I think you're confusing hardest working for working to get you hardest, Kris Jenner.
Very different.
Yes. Will there be an Entourage movie? Well, there was a lot of talk about it happening, but now it looks like it may not be happening.
People saw the show?
How dare you, sir? Eric Connolly played Eric on the show, asked creator Doug Ellen when the movie might happen, and Ellen answered, trying to get everyone on board ain't easy, apparently.
As anyone in this town can tell you, I am a dream weaver.
The script is ready to go, but all the actors, including Connolly and Adrian Grenier and Kevin Dillon and Jerry Ferrara, of course, the PIV, are incredibly busy, and scheduling is the biggest problem, but apparently there's some other problems in the works as well, so we may never see that Entourage movie that we've all been looking forward to.
That'd be sad. That'd be all right.
And Lady Gaga, you guys were talking to her spiritual leader just a little while
Marina,
ago.
Yes.
Yeah. She has had to release her new single earlier than she wanted to because apparently some pretty lousy quality MP3s of Applause, her new single, have already leaked out on the internet. So Gaga let the official track come out yesterday. You can buy it now on iTunes if you want. It's her laying on a floor holding her throat going,
Have you guys heard Applause yet? I was a little bit underwhelmed by it.
I'm not.
Didn't do much for me.
I'm not a Ga fan.
Yeah.
I'm not a big Ga follower.
I like Ga, but I'm not a fan of Ga.
You don't like Ga?
Right.
Today's celebrity birthdays, radio host, actor, TV child star, Danny Bonaducci, 54 years old today. Actor John Slattery of Mad Men is 51. And actress Debbie Mazar. Speaking of Entourage, she was a regular on that show, 49. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
So a 28-year-old named Carly Williams was pulled over by the police for speeding about 9 p.m. on Friday. And she told the cop, I'm going 82 miles per hour in a 65-mile-per-hour zone because my dad is dying and I need to get to his deathbed.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Can't blame her for rushing that, right?
Right. Until the cop called and tried to find her dad in the hospital, who didn't exist. So he found out that it was a complete lie.
Ruh-roh.
And she was also driving on a suspended license.
Oh, man.
And she got in a bunch of other problems.
Is it worse if you lie and they find out?
I mean, is there
more that they can do to you?
I don't have the answer to that.
Hmm.
Yeah, I don't know what the rules are on lying to a police officer. That's interesting. And can he go back now and give her that speeding ticket if he didn't give it to her at the scene?
I don't know, but it sounded like he wasn't fooled. He followed up, realized that it was a fake, and she ended up getting a ticket. So I guess they could go back and give you a ticket. But it did bring up the idea of lies you told to get out of a speeding ticket.
Oh, I'm sure people do it all the time.
I'm really surprised, by the way, that he would take the time to follow up. Because if he let her go, you'd think that he believed her.
Well, I mean, are you going to take the chance if her dad is dying?
Yeah.
Even if it's 50-50. He probably escorted her with sirens.
Yeah, maybe so.
He could have, yeah.
And then she's like, I don't know where to go.
What room? That one.
Is there an old guy in there?
So we want to take your telephone calls about a lie that you tried to tell, you did tell, to get out of a speeding ticket or a traffic citation, whether it worked or not. I'm curious to know, because sometimes you make something up and it works. I mean, we've talked to listeners before, for instance, who have pulled the old, you have no idea, officer, how much I have to poop. And sometimes that's enough. Whether you have to poop or not, they let you go because they don't want to deal with
the aftermath. They don't want to find out, right?
They don't want to find out, exactly. Right. So whether the lie worked or not, please give us a call right now here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll put you right on the air at 1-800-520-1067. By the way, as an aside, while the phone calls are coming in, my father, who you know, the chief.
Sure.
Got his, you know, he was here to visit me over the 4th of July in Washington. He drove back to Las Vegas where he lives. He got his first ever speeding ticket.
In his
He's
life?
75 years old.
What?
He got his first ever speeding ticket. He was in a 65 mile an hour zone that then went into like some sort of a business district or something like that. After a traffic light, it went down to 55. and they got him for going 71. He thought it was still 65. He was going 71. They got him a ticket. And he told the police officer, I've never had a traffic ticket in my entire life. I'm 75 years old. But thinking that would work.
Maybe. It's worth a shot, right?
Yeah.
He's not
didn't
lying.
Work.
Didn't work.
He wasn't lying. He was telling the truth. Didn't work. They still gave him a ticket. He's like, well, you got one now. And it was like $300. It was It was one of those little towns, I think, in Nevada where that's how they make their money. That's how they keep the lights on.
Yep.
Is by speeding tickets for people going through town. But, I mean, I bring that up to say you are combing your mind when the officer is getting out of his car and walking up to yours and you're thinking, okay, what do I have that I can use? Am I sick? Is it my first ticket? Is my dad really dying? Do I have to poop? Can I show a little cleavage? Whatever it is you've got, you're trying to think of some way to get out of getting that speeding ticket.
How about this one? This is a great one. A guy just tweeted me that when he was in the Marines, he would carry his uniform and boots and all of his stuff around in the back of the seat. And then when he got pulled over, he would tell him, I'm getting called back for emergency service.
Whoa. How do you give that guy a ticket?
I don't know.
And I wonder how often he used that.
Yeah, why would he go to such lengths? I would believe him.
Yeah, right?
I just say I work on this show, and they're like, oh, we're sorry.
Yeah.
And they let me go.
How dare you?
That's punishment right. enough.
1-800-520-1067. The lie that you told the police officer to try to get out of a ticket, whether it worked or not. Let's see how creative the Kevin and Bean listeners are. And let's start with Jacob. He's on line two to get us going here this morning. Hey, Jacob.
Good morning, guys. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning.
What did you try?
I'm a paramedic on an ambulance.
Okay.
And we had this guy that just told his girlfriend to keep on breathing fast, breathing heavy, just to fake as she was having a panic attack to
right.
get out of the ticket. We got deployed out, did a full assessment, transported the girl.
Oh, they called you guys. I gotcha.
Yeah, and instead of getting the $300 speeding ticket, she got stuck with an $800 hospital bill.
Oh.
For no reason.
So the cop said, if you're having a full-on panic attack, we're going to call an ambulance and send you to the hospital.
Correct.
So that did not work for her?
No, halfway through the transport, she started crying, and she was like, honestly, my boyfriend was just telling me to breathe fast.
You know, I hadn't thought about that. I bet people fake illnesses all the time. I bet that's one of the go-tos when a police officer is staring down at you.
But in this particular case, like this cop, probably a lot of them follow up. A lot of them, I'm sure police officers, and maybe some can call, are used to being told lies.
Exactly.
I'm sure that they get this all day, every day.
Yeah.
Jacob, thank you so much for the call. We appreciate it, sir. Let's do German or German, I'm not sure, on line 8. He's up next here on the Kevin Amin Show. 1-800-520-1067. Hello there.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hi.
How do you say your name, first of all?
Gamron. Yeah.
Okay.
So a long time ago, an ex-girlfriend of mine and I decided to go at it. We're driving on the freeway, and we pull over. And we're doing our business. All of a sudden, this CHP is right behind us. We didn't notice it. He comes into the driver's side and taps on the glass.
Mm-hmm.
I just look up at him. My girlfriend literally just gets the coat, puts it over her. The cop looks at me, puts the window down, and goes, you know what, son, get dressed, step out of the car. Which I do. I got dressed real quick, stepped out of the car. And then I told him, you know what, I'm sorry, officer. My wife and I are trying to conceive. She's ovulating at this time. And we said, hey, what the heck? He looks at me. He goes back into his patrol car, comes back out, gives me a parking ticket, says, go upon your business, be safe when you get back on the freeway.
How about that?
It worked.
I wouldn't have thought that worked for a second.
He might have just given you points for creativity.
The best thing was that my girlfriend looks at me and she goes, so does that mean we can continue?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
That was very clever. Very clever. Thank you very much for the call, sir. All right. 1-800-520-1067. The lie you told a trooper to try to get out of a ticket. We'll take your calls next on the Kevin Bean Show. Dear Kevin Abean, Tara writes, I was leaving my boyfriend's house early in the morning after staying the night. I was speeding and weaving through traffic, and I got pulled over. I started crying immediately. My makeup was still on from the night before and started running. I looked like a messy hooker. The cop came up to the window. I told him I had to get to the clinic in the morning immediately to get the after pill.
Oh.
The morning after pill. I was running out of time. It totally worked. I got out of 3 violations. For the win.
That's Tara. 3 violations.
Yeah, I don't know what, I guess for the weaving and the speeding and who knows what, reckless driving maybe, something like that. But so she said, I'm going for the morning after pill. She got away with it.
Oh, my God.
Pretty creative, right?
Well, yeah. I guess, but I find it hard to believe because You don't have to go.
Yeah, if you know anything about it, you could actually.
Right.
You don't have 30 to go minutes right. later would not matter.
Exactly.
Well, we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067 about the lie you told to try to get out of a ticket. Let's go to Carolina. She's on line 3 to get us going here for this segment.
Hi, Carolina.
Hi there.
What?
Out of 2 tickets, speeding tickets, one coming back from San Francisco, and I was really speeding. The guy comes over, and I'm hoping it's a guy, and I tell him that I felt my implant pop and to feel it.
Your boob implant? What?
And you told
that I'm a triple D, and I'm a natural triple D. I don't have implants.
So you said your implant had popped. An officer, if you don't believe me, feel it.
And he did.
Of course.
And then he said, oh, yeah, it's really soft. You know, you should take care of that. And I said, I that's why I'm coming back fast from San Francisco. I had business to attend over there, but I'm rushing back. And you could see in my license that I live in the valley, and I just need to get there as soon as possible, put some ice on it. You know, in the meantime, while they opened the office.
Did he say?
They were going to come with me to the office, and it was early in the morning, but I just told them that they open after 10.
All right.
So, no ticket, right?
No ticket.
Yeah, right. But he got to cop a and feel, so really it's a win-win.
He was cute.
Yeah. I would have said, I need to check the other one just to be comparison, for comparison.
Yes.
Thanks for the call. Hey, let's go to Mike. He's online, too. He's a police officer. He's got a story. I guess we were talking. Mike, welcome to the show, first of all.
Hey, guys. I'm Lisa May. How are you doing?
Good. Thank you so much for calling. We were talking about the number of people that try, I gotta poop. Have you encountered that?
I have, actually, several times. And in this case, I saw a guy make a crazy lane change. And when I went to make my U-turn to catch up to him, he gave me that, oh, no, look. And spent the next few minutes trying to evade me without it being a pursuit. Ultimately, to make a long story short, I make the stop. He gets out of the car trying to walk over to a fast food restaurant telling me, I got to poo, I got to poo. I stop him. It leads to an arrest. He's a parolee with 2 keys of coke and a little over $10,000 cash.
Oh,
it didn't work.
My God.
Wow, why is he so stupid? Why didn't he just let you give him the speeding ticket and then move on? You never would have searched his vehicle, right?
Well, I guess we only catch the stupid ones.
Wow.
That's amazing. Thank you, officer. Appreciate the call. Let's go to Brian. He's on line 7. He's a retired deputy, so he's got a story as well.
Hey, Brian.
Hey guys. I can't beat Mike's story, but I've written people up for falsifying an emergency. I had a...
Oh, wait. That's an extra ticket you can give them?
That's a misdemeanor.
Okay. All right.
You can get a misdemeanor for falsifying the emergency, saying that you need to go somewhere. I had somebody do that, and they said they were a doctor. Come to find out, they were just a not even a dermatologist, one of those facial ladies.
Like an esthetician.
Exactly. So they were saying that they had to go to an emergency. But I've had 2 ladies in 6 years tell me that they were starting their periods. And,
oh, now that's interesting.
Did that work?
No, not at all. I said, you should know your body better and prepare. And give them the ticket. I said, go ahead in front of the judge and you can explain your situation. They never took me to court.
Damn it. I was going to try that one, too. Thanks.
It would have worked for you. Thank you for the call. All right. Let's see here. Let's go to Brandon. Hey, Brandon.
How's it going, guys?
Good. Thank you.
I was in the Marine Corps, and I had my dress blues in the back of my car. And cop pulled me over for speeding, and I told him I was late for my wedding.
You were what?
Late for my wedding.
Late for your wedding?
Oh,
there you go. Okay.
And?
It worked.
Does it work mostly because you're in the military, or have you gotten out of more than just that one?
I mean, I've said it before, but it hasn't really worked. I had an actual ring on me at the time, so I mean.
Oh, well, there's that.
Okay, very, very convincing. Thanks for the call. Let's do one more. Let's do Frank. He's another police officer. He's on line 6. We appreciate the call, Frank. What do you got for us?
Good morning, Lisa May. Good morning, guys.
Hi.
Good morning.
I got a guy hauling dirt on the freeway. I pull him over early in the morning. He said the doctor just got paged, had to go to the hospital for an emergency. He did have documentation showing it was a doctor. I got his information. All right, have a good day. Sent him on his way. Didn't give him a ticket. I end up calling the hospital and finding out he is a doctor there, but was not supposed to come in. He did not get called, so I sent him a ticket in the mail.
You could send him a ticket in the mail.
That's pretty sweet.
Wow.
How do you guys decide, I'm curious about this, Frank, which stories to follow up on? Because you hear so many. What, I mean, did you just have a BS detector that went off about that doctor?
Yeah, something just didn't seem right. You know, he was trying to act like he was in a hurry, trying to seem like he really had to go. But something about him, he had his cup of coffee in the car. Something just didn't seem right.
How about that?
I like it. And I like Hull and Butt, too. I like that you're bringing that back.
That's sweet. Hey, Frank, thanks for calling in. Keep on trucking.
Hello, 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 7:39.
That's straight out of 1987, that song, right? Or is that new? Sounds like what are we doing? What are we playing?
Out of My League by Fits and the Tantrums.
I like that. Yeah. That's good. All right, Jim Norton joins us in about 20 minutes or so right here on The Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph Garman has the showbiz beat coming up. I had a nuclear medicine test yesterday, you guys.
A nuclear medicine test?
Yes. Very
exciting.
What the
hell is that?
The guy who administered my test, by the way, was a very interesting guy. We became fast friends over the couple of hours that I was on the table.
Oh, what a disaster for that guy.
His name's Mike, but he as a younger person, protested nuclear reactors and was against atomic energy. He was a guy. He was one of those guys who was out there, like the anti-nuke movement.
Right.
And now he has a job in nuclear medicine.
That's
which was
weird.
So bizarre. But this is a test I didn't know anything about. You know, I've had that stomach problem for the last month or so, and I've already had an ultrasound, and then they didn't find anything from that.
Did they check if you were pregnant?
And then I already had the endoscopy, and they haven't come to any conclusive results from that. So the next thing my doctor wanted to try was he wanted this nuclear medicine test. I don't remember what it's called, but they shoot you – this is no joke. They shoot into your veins. They shoot radioactive or nuclear, I should say, isotopes so that they glow. And then you watch a screen, and it shows what they've shot into your bloodstream going into your kidneys. So they see how your kidney processes it, and then they see how all that material ends up going through your gallbladder and then down into your intestines and stuff like that. So you lay on a table with a camera on your stomach, and you watch digestion for a couple of hours to see how everything's working with these radioactive isotopes. I thought it was pretty cool.
Isn't radioactive bad? Isn't that how Spider-Man became Spider-Man? He got bit by a radioactive spider?
I do glow in the dark, if that's what you're asking. He did tell me that although it's nuclear material, it does just pass through your system and it's not gonna change anything.
That's what they would tell you. Mm-hmm. Instead, you're turning into a superhero. You don't even know it.
I don't think so. Although, that would be cool, but I don't think that's what happened. I think they just use it for imaging so that they can find out what's going on in your digestion system.
That's funny because the Kevin and Bean microphones were there. And they tell a very different story of what happened.
What do you mean?
Yesterday for Bean's nuclear checkup. Here we go.
All right, Mr. Baxter, if you just get on the table, we'll be using the thermonuclear transmogrifying physiological topographer.
Hey, I'm a little nervous, Doctor. I'm concerned about this procedure.
Oh, there's no need for that. I'm just going to be here behind this lead wall. I'll be turning it on in just a second. Just relax.
I feel so strange. I feel as if a change is happening inside of me. I'm getting larger, stronger.
I am Super Bean.
Oh, no.
Now, I have powers and abilities far beyond those of mortal men. Not only have I gained actual muscle on top of my enormous gangly frame, but my vision... Something's happened. I can see through walls into women's restrooms. Yes, I will call this my creepy vision. I'm looking at you, ladies. I'm Super Bean.
Come on.
And I also have the power to knock out villains with my supersonic tweet of death. Why was TLC chasing waterfalls? It's not like they go anywhere. These are tornadoes we're talking about. I will use my newfound abilities to fight crime with my sidekick, Sheep Boy. Come here, Sheep Boy. It's time for you to be initiated. Oh, Sheep Boy, I love you.
Oh, that's so much uglier than I was thinking. So much uglier.
Any thoughts, B?
And C. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 7:51.
You missed this this breakthrough, this turning point, Ralph. Beer Mug's fingers are so fat now that he has trouble hitting the right buttons on the control board.
Lovely.
That's where he's at right now.
He's Fat Bastard from the Austin Power movie.
Yeah, he actually is.
I can't even touch buttons anymore. Get in my belly.
Comedian Jim Norton joins us coming up after the top of the hour here on K-Rock. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Tuesday.
Because it is Tuesday. I want to make you feel something better about the rest of the week. Give you something to look forward to. How about some tickets to the very special K-Rock advanced screening of The World's End?
Yay!
New Edgar Wright film starring his cronies, his usual gang of comedy thieves, Simon Pegg, Nick Frost, starring in this film, along with Martin Freeman, who you know from the original Office, the British version, Rosamund Pike, who's just so beautiful and funny. You can see it at, where's it going to be? The Lemley Santa Monica 4 on Thursday, August the 22nd. The movie's in theaters the next day, Friday the 23rd, but you'll have seen it before anybody else. This is a very funny film about five friends who reunite in an attempt to top their epic pub crawl from 20 years earlier and then unwittingly become humankind's only hope for survival as the world ends around them, hence the title, The World Ends. Call right now, 1-800-520-1067-5. Lucky winners will get a pair of tickets to attend our special advanced screening, and then you'll also get access to the World's End pub party at Ye Olde King's Head after the screening. So, really good times. Call right now, 1-800-520-1067. Katy Perry's got a new song called Roar over the weekend. It leaked a little bit early. No, this is not. No.
Wow, sounds different for Katy.
This is the world's first taste of her upcoming album, Prism. And in a lot of ways, the first single, Roar, sounds pretty much like her basic girl power anthem that could be sung just by anybody. But the internet is a buzz now because everyone's saying she stole the song.
She stole it?
Well, that it sounds almost identical to another recent hit single, Brave, by Sarah. I always say her name incorrectly. Is it Barrier?
Bareilles. Sarah Bareilles. Yeah, that was a huge hit for her, right?
Huge hit, yes. I thought I'd let you decide for yourself. I brought in samples of both Roar from Katy Perry and then Sarah Bareilles' recent single, Brave. First, let's play a little the verse from Brave. This is Sarah's song, okay?
You can be amazing. You can turn a phrase into a weapon or a drug.
Okay, now let's hear a verse from Roar, Katy Perry's new song.
I used to bite my tongue and hold my breath, scared to rock the boat and make a mess.
I don't think it's that close.
Similar.
All right, let's hear the chorus from Brave.
All right.
Okay.
But I wonder what would happen if you say what you want to say.
Okay, Mugs, stop dancing.
Now let's hear the chorus from Roar, from Katy Perry's new song.
I got the eye of the tiger, the fire, dancing through the fire, cause I am a champion, and you're gonna hear me roar.
That's pretty close.
Pretty close.
It's pretty close with the way the music kicks in, with the way the emphasis, how the title of Brave on one and Roar on the other kind of comes in the exact same spot. I can certainly see why people have called attention to that, certainly.
You want to hear DJ Omar Khan's mashup of the two?
Yes, please.
A little slap together. Take a look.
I like Omar's version best.
I do too.
Maybe they should just put them together.
They should hire him and just put them all together. So.
Look, this can't be what Katy Perry wanted out of the gate, is to have controversy. But what's going to happen? Is this one of those lawsuit type deals, like with the Radiohead song? Remember when they ended up losing that lawsuit to the Hollies?
Doesn't this seem like it happens all the time, just by accident?
Well, listen, the songs have no overlapping co-writers. So it could be that both songs just sort of sound alike. But here's the thing. Katy Perry did tweet about Sarah's song about 3 months ago, how much she loved it.
Interesting.
And there is apparently, there will be more talk about this because she's going to be performing the song live at the VMAs on August the 25th. So this story's not over yet. But I don't think anybody's planning on suing yet. At least we'll have to wait and see. So
interesting. What do you think, Ralph? You think it's just a coincidence that they sound so similar? Or you think there's some ripping off going on here?
I think maybe even subconsciously.
Yeah, who knows what you hear, what gets stuck
in
your
head. She may have loved that song and got absorbed into her psyche a little bit, and then she started writing a song and then just sort of came out the same style.
She doesn't seem like she has to steal.
No.
No, but I mean, Kevin,
a savvy producer should have stepped in, though, and said, hey, you know this sounds an awful lot like that. Let's take a different tack. Let's rearrange this. Let's make it sound differently, at least.
Look, Kevin, a freaking Beatle lost a lawsuit for the subliminal, hey, you may have been influenced by a song, you know, and that's a guy who certainly doesn't need to steal music, you know, great songwriter, but sometimes it just happens. You do pick up things along the way.
I want to give Katie a chance to plead her case to me personally.
That's nice.
When we're in New York for the VMAs, maybe we can sit down and she can tell me what she feels about all that stuff.
Eyes are up here.
Whatever. Down there, up here, whatever it takes, man. I just want to get to the bottom of the story. I'm a journalist, damn it.
That is
I go
what
where
you're
the story
about.
Leads me. That's I don't right. care about men, women, sex, whatever. Boobs, doesn't matter to me. Boobs, doesn't matter.
Right.
Like, boobs, I don't care about that.
Doesn't so you're willing to put as, head, much, boobs. As much time into this as is necessary to flush
America
out the
America needs to know.
You guys seen the...
boobs?
The video of her boobs on the internet, of her getting... plaster cast, is that what they call it?
Of her boobs?
Yeah.
No, I have not seen
the
that.
A woman rubbing the white stuff all over her.
I love to copyright.
Hold on a second. Really? You had to put it that way?
I'm just saying, it's true. That's what's happening.
What the hell's going on?
USA!
You guys will see.
USA!
You'll see.
USA!
You'll see.
You'll see. Take beer mugs lines. Today's celebrity birthdays, actor and radio host Danny Bonaducci is 54 years old today. Actor John Slattery, so good on Mad Men. Yeah, he was good way back on that show, Ed. Remember Ed?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah.
Ally McBeal, he was great on Ally McBeal.
Yeah, he's been good for a long time. 51 years old today. Actress Debbie Mazar is 49 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
We have admired for many, many years, and I think is making his first ever visit to the Kevin and Bean Show. Ladies and gentlemen, comedian Jim Norton joins us in studio here on Kevin.
Thank you.
Hi, Jim. How are you, man?
I'm good. How are you?
You are an intense mother effer.
Oh, thank you. Is it to be in a good way or in an awful way?
In a frightening way, in a way that I'm glad I'm not in the same room as you.
I don't think we've decided yet.
Yeah, people kind of don't know how to feel about me. Like, is he an aggressive jerk or is he just kind of passionate? And it's a little bit of both, I guess.
I don't know if you're watching that Orange is the New Black on Netflix. Have you seen any of that?
No, I heard it's really good, though.
It is.
It's great. They have their character, a female inmate named Crazy Eyes. And I think you're the male equivalent. I think you're kind of Crazy Eyes. I look at you and I go, I don't know, man. He could be the coolest guy in the world, but he looks like he could kill.
And I also blink a lot. Like, I'm really uncomfortable to look at for long periods of time because my left eye, I've twitched for many years. And it's you know, I always see Jay Moore. And he's always very happy to remind me that I twitch. You know, Jay Moore, if you have any physical flaw, is really happy. It's humiliating.
To remind you that exists?
Oh, he's the worst. Yeah. I mean, I don't know why I'm friends with him for 20 years. Like, every time I see him, he reminds me of something horribly physically wrong with me.
Why did he tweet out a picture of you wearing a gas mask or something?
That's my sleep apnea mask.
Oh.
I did this podcast the other day, and that's what I sleep with, or I try to sleep with.
Right.
Every night you put that on, Jim?
How do you sleep with that?
I don't. I'm an insomniac, and I have apnea, and it doesn't work. So I try to sleep with that, and then I wind up throwing it off and just laying there with a mouth guard. And it really is torture.
Wow.
That stinks.
But sexy, though.
Yeah, I think the best is to sleep with somebody and then put it on after just to punish them.
Right.
Like,
right.
Look at who you just slept with. I'm Bane.
Now for folks who right, exactly. For folks who aren't familiar with the sleep apnea, a lot of people have it, but tell people what it is it does to you, Jim.
It's when you wake up gasping for air. It's like a lot of people snore. It's like you wake up like that.
You stop breathing. Yeah.
And you don't ever feel rest. You can die. That's what Reggie White died of.
Yes.
It's great. I'm turning my appearance into a PSA for sleep apnea. All kidding aside, guys, be careful. Yeah. but it can kill you.
You never get a good night's sleep because you're never allowed to get into that good REM sleep or something like that because you're always waking up before you get there, right?
Yeah, terrible, man. And plus, I can't sleep because, like, I literally, when you're online and you're, like, looking at porn, it really does mess the wiring in your brain up. And
right.
It's like you try to sleep and your brain is like... And so when I finally fall asleep, I wind up waking up. So I'm always tired. I mean, doing this for a living, even. I'm exhausted every morning.
I'm amazed that you have been able to be a working, functional comedian for as many years as you have, because you are the very definition of the tortured artist.
I don't know.
You seem miserable.
Sometimes, yeah, but I mean, it's. I tend to focus on the negative, but like, right. I really am happy with the way things are going. It's like you always want more, but I'm grateful for my life. I mean, I'm sober, and there's a lot of things I'm very grateful for, and I see guys. Like, I like the fact that I have a work ethic, and I'm, you know, I'm not lazy. Like, I like to work, and I like to come out and do press. So, I guess I do come off as probably more miserable than I am. I should probably express my gratitude more, because I think I'm a lot happier than people expect.
But and happy's not funny.
You know, it very rarely is, man.
Yeah. That's true.
Who wants to hear a comic on stage? Guys, the relationship's terrific.
Boo. My kids are beautiful. I got the best house you ever saw, and my new boat. Let me tell you about that.
But nobody wants to hear that, because yeah. It's like, not that you have to force angst, but to be comic, I find focusing on the negative, because then there's some kind of a controversy. There's something to talk about. Nobody wants to hear you bragging about how great your life is.
That's true. Then you're just sure. Jay-Z.
Yeah, exactly.
Dude, that's amazing. That's what comedians and rappers are so opposite. If you're a rapper, you got to talk about all the girls and the bling and the money. If you're a comic, you just talk about how you have none of those things.
Right, sure. This is the voice of Jim Norton here on the Kevin DeBean Show. By the way, his new comedy special is called American Degenerate, and that's going to be premiering next Friday, August 23rd, on the Epix channel. We'll talk some more about that in a minute. You mentioned you're sober. How long has that been, Jim?
Since February the 1st, 1987. I was 18 when I quit.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm pretty lucky. It's like, I guess
you wised up early.
What age did you start?
Really young, 13 or 14. I only had a few years of it, but my father's sober, so I kind of always knew about recovery, and I was a disaster fast. Like, I was a cut. I was like a little. My ex girlfriend told me that I was like an emo lesbian when I was a teenager, and she's like, "That's what you were like in the 80s," and she was right.
Wow,
I was a cutter before it was fashionable. You know, it was all attention seeking nonsense,
right?
But I think that I focused on the real.
Like,
I was
you don't have
drunk.
Enough problems as a teen.
Right.
To add alcoholic. Was that alcohol?
Oh, yeah. Okay. And drugs. But I preferred booze above all of it.
Sure.
I like that crashing down, drunk feeling. And I admire people who can function drunk. I just couldn't do it. Are you like that? Can you do it?
Sort of.
Well, not well. Function in quotes with Kelly.
Ralph can do it well.
Yeah, he can.
But I'm amazed at the level of maturity must have had to make that decision and have it stick at 18, because I would think that most people who try to get recovery that young, when they get to be like 20, 21, they think, well, I've grown out of it by now. I'm going to be fine. Now I'm in college or whatever. Now I have friends who drink. I can try it. But you never went back?
No, not once. And it's just, I got very lucky. I did the right things. I did what they suggest you do when you're getting sober. And like, by the time I was 21, I started stand-up, and I was 3 years sober. And I'm like, what they started to tell me was coming true, that your life's going to get better and that you're going to find all this happy. And it started to happen. Like, my dream was to be a comic, and I started. And, you know, it's corny, but, you know, hey, look, I got everything they told me I was going to get. So, I mean, I'm very
corny.
Grateful for that.
So what? As long as you're getting what they promised you, you get.
Yeah, man. It's like, and too many guys I know, like, you see guys like Geraldo, who is so brilliant and so funny. And you know, all these guys that just are dead years before they should have been dead. And it's like, how many funny things did Mitch Hedberg have to say that are unsaid? Or Geraldo, or how many great comics, you know? So it's really, you watch all these talented people nosediving. And then back to sleep apnea. I mean, Jesus, what a depressing guest I am.
You never went back to finish high school, though, right, Jim?
No, I got a GED at 3 years sober. And I went to college very briefly. I went to a semester of community college, and I got a B and three Fs. I got a B.
Congratulations.
Yeah, that was that. The B is the highlight. The three Fs were expected. But yeah, I wanted to be an attorney when I was in high school. I saw Injustice for All, but it was a performance desire. Like, you know, Pacino's giant,
right.
You know, that big moment where he attacks John Forsythe verbally. I wanted that. So,
you on stage is sort of the same thing.
It is the exact same thing, except I'm not the glory of just, you know, bringing down a judge. Like, I wanted that. So stand-up kind of functions.
Were you standing in front of the mirror? You're out of order. Were you that guy? Were you, like, imitating and everything?
Dude, it's humiliating. I used to audio record on a cassette tape.
Do you have those?
You know, I think I do somewhere. Not myself, but profanity from movies. Like scenes from Stir Crazy or scenes from Used Cars with Jack Warden, all these great comedies, and Kurt Russell. And I would just reenact these profane scenes. Like, I loved the power of that language.
I wonder about that, Jim, because your act is among the filthiest acts that's currently working in America.
Parts of it are, yes.
Congratulations. Thank you. Very, very liberal use of swear words. You have turned it into an art form, my friend. And I'm wondering what the attraction is, because it sounds like it started very young for you. And by the way, let me give you a compliment on top of that by saying you're on terrestrial radio, which you rarely are right now, and you're doing great.
Thank you. Yeah, I almost never get dumped out of, because I'm hypersensitive to what, not just the FCC stuff, but the other stuff that can get you in trouble, because we dealt with it. So I know, like, when comedians would come on, they think if they just don't drop an F-bomb, they're fine. And it's like, man, there's so many other things.
It's a lot bigger than that.
Oh.
Eddie Yeft gets us in trouble every time he comes on
every
the show.
Every time he comes in, he says something. It's like, dude, that's a body fluid. You can't. I understand. So
what do you think your fascination is with the F-word and with all the swears? I mean, did it start for you as a little kid? Was it just that it was verboten in your home and that's why you became attracted to it?
They're powerful words. Like, they're sounds, or there's something to them. And I don't use them. Like, I try not to use them. Like, Pryor said that he would use MF for a lot of times, overuse it to where he shouldn't have. And I never forgot that he said that, so I try not to use profanity unless it helps the joke. But if I feel like a joke is weak, my mind just throws it in, and then the job is to take it out. Because I do Leno a lot, and it's like, you know, you can't drop that stuff.
Right.
Although you get away with edgier content on Leno than you think. Like, the stuff they've let me fly through with is amazing. The bestiality, like, things I never thought I would have got through.
Wow.
So, but you just, obviously you can't curse.
It's an absurd system, though. I mean, we have lawyers here, and we find ourselves in arguments over whether you can say asshole or not, and when it's appropriate, when it's not appropriate, and there's so many ridiculous.
And you can say some things once, but you can't say them twice, for instance. I mean, you were Jim's on the Open Anthony show, for folks who don't know, now very successful on satellite, but for many years you guys were on terrestrial radio,
yes.
So I'm sure you had the exact same fights that we had year after year after year.
Is there anything more vomit-inducing than a lawyer trying to explain contesting rules?
No.
Oh, it's the worst. Well, you can't lead up to it, because then everybody, all right, I heard you.
Yep.
They're the worst. They're the worst, and they're overprotective. And it's funny how, and this is all corporations, but they never blame the attorneys if the ratings aren't the same, because they take away every contest you can do. They take away everything honest you can talk about.
Yep.
They only blame the on-air talent because, you know, I can't tap dance on a lily pad and make the word woo-woo funny to the average driving trucker.
The best thing about attorneys we've found, and then we're going to take a break with our guest Jim Norton here on the Kevin Bean Show, is when they explain comedy to you, first of all. And the other part is when they make it sound like we're idiots because what they're asking us to do is so easy that anyone can do it. You know what I'm talking about? That attitude where they're like, why can't you understand? This is so black and white.
And then they'll say, sign this piece of paper. You completely understand it. And we do the same thing every time. This is unclear.
Yeah.
We write it on the piece of paper. This is unclear, and then we sign our names. That's just absurd.
Great, man. You put that little asterisk in there, because they want you to sign it because they're so litigation obsessed. They really are unfun people. And they're obsessed with getting themselves out of trouble and indemnification. And it's like, oh, what do you do when you go home at night? Do you have sex with your wife, or do you just talk to her about it and then you both roll over? They're the worst.
All right. The very funny Jim Norton in studio with us here on the Kevin Amin Show. We'll talk some about the special called American Degenerate. That sounds like an appropriate name. It's airing next Friday night, the 23rd, on Epics. We'll be right back on K-Rock.
Jim Norton is in the studios with us.
The special is called American Degenerate. It debuts next Friday night, the 23rd, on Epics. It says here, by the way, that you are a New York Times best-selling author. Is that true, Jim? Why have I not heard about that?
I wrote two books. I wrote, one was called Happy Endings, and one was called I Hate Your Guts, and they both hit the list.
Good for you.
Yeah, I was happy with it, man. I was shocked. But I was very, very happy that people enjoyed them. The second one I released on the day of Obama's election in 2008. So it was a technical thing with Barnes & Noble. It helped me get the front tables. But I think that hurt it a little bit, because I'm in nonfiction competing with Maya Angelou and all these books on Barack Obama and the first black president. You know what I mean? So I was happy to make the list at all there.
I understand that you are very happy with this new special that's going to debut next week. Like, you don't always say that about something you've just finished, but this one you're still pretty psyched about.
Yeah, normally I hate everything I do, and I edit it. I have to watch it, and then like Monster Rain, I shot in 2007. I haven't watched it since. Like, I'll watch it to edit, and I'm finished.
It just drives you crazy to watch it again?
Or? I see every flaw. I hate my fat face. I hate my blinking eye. I'm like, ugh, you bullfrog-necked idiot. But this one, and I'm not just saying this to sell it. I was really, really happy with it. And I get, like, because Epix is a weird network. Like, they totally allow the artist a tremendous amount of say, which most networks don't give you. And they're hands off, man. They were like, as long as there's nothing that's going to get us sued or that we think is completely horrendous, do what you got to do.
Wow.
And they allowed me to do that. And you can see it on epixhd.com if your provider doesn't have Epix, and you can sign up for a free trial and watch it. And I'm extremely happy with this one. So I hope people like it. And
people are going
to
like it.
Horrible thing to say. Hope you like it, guys. But I'm so bad. I'm such a bad pitch man for myself. I never know what to say. Like,
what kind
it
of stuff
suck.
Do you talk about on American Degenerate?
A lot of, you know, I address the new Pope. I talk about my own sexual deviance a little bit. I attack the press a lot. John Travolta's troubles. I talk about my own massage experiences. And, you know, a lot of, I do give a lot of advice on making a regular massage a happy ending. And I also talk about my sleep apnea and stuff like that.
You talk about your sexual dysfunction, and this is one of the most fascinating things, and I apologize if you get tired of people asking you about this, but you're addicted to masturbation, Jim?
Well, I mean...
Who isn't?
Yeah, exactly, and the way that most people are addicted to eating and breathing and smiling. Yeah, and I wouldn't say it's dysfunction. Like, it's more, it's just obsession. I was talking the other day about it's like zoning out. It's like any other dopamine drip you give yourself. It just becomes this thing. It's like I'm not even feeling sexual right now. It's like when obese people eat when they're not hungry.
Right.
It's like, what am I doing? I'm just shoving pie in my face. You just do it because you need comfort, or you just need that little weird zone out high you get, and it doesn't even feel good. And that's where it becomes a problem, I think.
That's kind of weird, though. I mean, and sometimes, as I understand it, I'll have to be careful how I phrase this, but sometimes you don't even have a goal in mind. It's just the journey that you're enjoying, right?
It's literally like taking a completely empty tube of toothpaste, squeezing it for 20 minutes and realizing you don't want to brush your teeth. That's what it's like. It's a waste of time.
Have you run this by Dr. Drew yet or any healthcare professional?
You know, it's funny. I've talked to my therapist many times, and I know what it is. It's just escape. And I like Dr. Drew. I really do. And he's a guy who I would sit and chat with about it. And I watched...
You should do his podcast. You know he does a podcast all the time out here. While you're in L.A., you should totally get together with him.
If he would have me on, I would certainly do it. He's gotten a bad rap from a lot of people about... You know, but people don't understand that the odds and stats of people relapsing are astronomical.
Yeah, that's what we think, is that he's really taking people at their lowest.
Yeah.
And the sickest.
And trying to turn that around is an immeasurable task.
And I don't think he's capitalizing, because look at the tabloids. They capitalize every time Lindsay Lohan or Paris Hilton or somebody gets in trouble. So what is he capitalizing on, trying to help people? Like, I really like Dr. Drew a lot. And I would do his podcast if he'd have me.
We got to hook it. We'll have Dave try to hook that up before you leave here today. So what does your therapist say if you don't mind sharing with that? What does he think is going on with you?
It's a she. I could never talk about that kind of sexual stuff with a man for some reason. I've had male therapists. This is what a zilch I am. Years ago, I was seeing a therapist in Highland Park, New Jersey, and he fell asleep in the middle of our session.
Oh, my God.
Oh, how humiliating. Thank God I wasn't doing stand-up. He just dozed off. I'm like, I hated your guts already. This just cemented the deal.
So, but you can't talk to a woman about it?
Yeah, it's more comfortable for me for some reason. Women have a different energy. Like, my trainers in the gym are women. Like, I appreciate a female energy than a male energy. I just don't like as much.
Is your female therapist attractive?
No.
Like, does that help?
Yes, because there's no sexual push and pull. There's no desire there. There's no hidden motive or agenda for me. She tries to get me to just do healthy things or to go to a 12-step thing for sexual stuff, which I have done, and it does help.
It does.
But it's so hard to not rush back into it because it just feels so good. Like, it really is a fun thing to do. I mean,
not doing anything else. You don't drink. You don't do drugs.
Yes.
Like, and you don't eat too much.
Yeah, why not get a legitimate massage therapist and then roll the dice? I don't gamble in Vegas. It's fun.
Everybody needs something.
You need something.
There's a tip. There's a way to turn a regular one into the happy ending one.
Yeah, it's a body language issue, which I'll be careful how I describe
okay.
it. But it's a very, very much, you don't actually blurt it out because you don't know the other person, but
right.
It's all body language. And they're very intuitive massage therapists. They understand what you're saying. Like, you know, if she's rubbing your hamstrings and you're, like, pushing your ass back a little, going, like, you know, she gets, all right, I know what he's saying.
I never
me.
Want to hear that sound again.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's really creepy. You're either having a stroke or you want something extra. So, they read it. And this way, there's no embarrassment of you actually vocalizing it. And she'll either, you know, say yes by going towards where you want her to, or say no by going to your right.
What's your percentage of success?
Not high
in that world.
No, not at all. 4% maybe. The Montreal Expos have more World Series than I have, you know, the topical baseball reference. They haven't been a team since 1988.
We've talked. That's right. We've talked with our listeners who are massage therapists, and the ones that offer the extra services have kind of ruined it for the ones who don't, because every single day they have people walking in the door who think, who just assume, hey, massage therapist, that means everything's on the table, and sometimes it's just not there.
No, most times it's not there, but you can always tell by how they dress. Like if you walk in and she's got a mini skirt on, but if she, you know, if she's wearing a lab coat and she's dressed like a physicist, like, oh, this stinks. I went to
By her appearance that you're not going to try.
You know exactly.
Just forget it.
It's just not worth it.
Right.
And one time I walked into one here in L.A. I was shooting Lucky Louie, and I was out here for a while, and I saw a lot of them. And I walked into her house, and I went to use the restroom, and she was kind of cute, and there was an embroidery in her bathroom that said, "May you be in heaven a half hour before the devil knows you're dead." And I'm like, I have no shot. Nobody that mentions heaven and Satan in the restroom is going to help you get where you need to go.
Did you just leave?
No, I got the massage, and I realized she was a bore. She had like a long hippie skirt on. I'm like, this just sucks. But that's the price you pay.
Exactly.
You want to play in that world.
I think we've all learned a valuable lesson from Jim's appearance here today.
Yeah, and I'll never tell you on the phone because it's a crime, you know, which it shouldn't be a crime, but it is. So you just, it's kind of a fun way to go. And, you know, look, I'm not hurting anybody, and it's like, I'm not going to get somebody pregnant doing that. And
right.
I'm not going to catch anything doing that. So,
but with that 4% success rate, I mean, it's worth it.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, 4 out of 10 times, I mean, that would be 40%.
That's 4 out of 100.
I meant 4 out of 100, yeah. 4 out of 10 would be a great. That's Ty Cobb's numbers.
The special's called American Degenerate. I think you could already tell how funny it's going to be. Debuts next Friday, August 23rd on the Epix channel. And then I assume shortly thereafter, Jim, DVD release, I imagine, right?
Probably a few months. Yeah, 3 or 4 months. We give it a nice run on Epix, and then you know, it'll come out on DVD or for foreign distribution or whatever.
Well, I don't know how often you get out to Southern California. I know you're very busy back east, but thanks for spending some time with Kevin and me today. We really enjoyed it.
Thank you for having me, man. I really, really had fun with you guys. Thank you.
Finally, after like 2 months of being every day.
We got to talk about 3D printing. Let's talk about 3D printing. We've got to. How come we don't have 3D printing tomorrow?
Why do you hate progress?
Why
are you against technology?
I'm not.
Then why are you not as excited as I am about 3D printing? Doesn't it look to you like this is the beginning of something that could change everything?
I don't believe it. Maybe.
Okay.
I don't believe that you can print a car, that you can print a gun that works.
You can print pizza. Why not?
Because
you can't print pizza.
You can't print pizza. You can print a picture of a pizza.
Let's find out where the technology is and where it's potentially going from the man who knows. He is a senior editor with Wired, which is really the last word on all things technological. And his name is Cliff Kwong, and he joins us on the Kevin DeBean Show right now. Hi, Cliff. How are you, sir?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for being on the phone. We're very excited, as you can tell, about this 3D technology. It's starting to pop up more and more on the news. Most people maybe still aren't quite clear what it is, though. Can you give us a little bit of a primer?
Yeah, sure. I mean, you know, I think a good way to start is just thinking about the printer that you have at your office or in your home. You know, it's, you know, imagine a bunch of cartridges in a printer sort of just squirting things out onto a page, right?
Right.
At the simplest level, like some of these quote-unquote 3D printers are really doing just that. Like the pizza example you guys mentioned earlier, you know, you literally can create a printer that basically has a bunch of burrito ingredients in tubes and spits out a burrito at the end.
What? Wait a minute. So you put fresh ingredients that you would make a pizza with.
I'm not saying that they would be exactly the ingredients you might find at Chipotle, but you could do it. And it, indeed, it has been done.
And people have made other foods, too. Like chocolate is something that they've figured out a way to make, right, with a 3D print. Okay.
One thing, though, to talk about is the fact that actually it gets a little bit more complicated than that when you start layering in new technologies and things like that that are coming into people sort of within reach for people. These include basically the ability for a laser to run over some powdered nylon basically and to create like a sort of form that eventually rises out of this powdered nylon, like you can imagine, like an iceberg emerging from the from the sea or something like that.
Right, that's how it makes it kind of 3D-ish.
Yeah, so it's printing it out layer by layer by essentially hardening layers and layers of plastic nylon slowly, or by basically extruding or sort of squirting a material that is then hardened by light, so UV cured. That's how the MakerBot that some of you guys might have heard of, this sort of laser hardening method, is something that is at work in the Formlabs printer that some of you guys might have heard about. And those are two things that are actually available for desktops now.
But it also seems like anything that you think about that's a small item that you use in your home that's made of plastic, for instance, or that can be made of plastic, like a key or a light switch cover or a spoon, it seems like that's the type of thing that would be pretty easy pretty soon to be able to just whip up at home if you wanted to, right?
Yeah, and indeed, like, you know, the future, I think, is one in which, you know, hobbyists can do a lot of that stuff as they want, right? That future has already arrived. If you go out and get a Formlabs 3D printer for a little bit less than $3,000 right now, you can go out and make that stuff on your own, for sure.
Okay, but let me ask you this question. Money-wise, shouldn't you just go buy a spoon?
Yeah, I mean, look, this isn't going to be something that, you know, instead of a mother, you know, going out to Target to buy a spoon, like she just sort of hits print on her 3D printer.
Right.
That's not the future that we're really describing right now at this point. What we are describing is one in which, you know, like the activity around hobbyists and sort of people interested in democratizing and using some of the tools that professional designers have been using for many years, those people can actually participate in that process and start making things on their own and potentially selling them, right? So we're talking about a story in which this very expensive technology is becoming within reach for very highly engaged, like, people that want to find out what the cutting edge of technology is.
This is the voice of Cliff Kwong here on the Kevin Amin Show. He is a senior editor of design for Wired, and we're talking about 3D printing. What catapulted this into the headlines that caught a lot of people's attention earlier this year, Cliff, was when people started making guns. Tell me about that a little bit. Where's that technology at?
You know, the technology is advancing quite rapidly. I mean, as now you essentially have working guns that can be printed, right? And this is, this is a super interesting and troubling thing, right? Because it means that essentially, you know, we have this enormous armature of laws and regulations that controls how guns are distributed and things like that. But the ability to print a gun, which basically you send a digital file to somebody at some other computer, they can load into their 3D printer and then have that gun print out wherever they are.
Now, that gun will shoot a bullet?
Yeah, it will. Nobody's saying that it's going to be as resilient and reliable as, like, say, an AR-15, but, like, this is the direction in which the technology inevitably is taking us.
Right. And there are a lot of things that you use that that aren't meant to last forever, that are 2-3 uses. You know, there's a lot of things we already have like that. Where would you see 3D printing in 50 years, Cliff?
Well, 50 years is a long time, and any prognosis
25?
About that is prone to error. But then again, you know, I think it's pretty clear that we're going to see 3D printing in more and more facets of our lives. It's going to become more and more common as a fabrication technique. It will be as common as, let's say, plastic in terms of, you know, the end user seeing things that are 3D printed. And, you know, these 3D printing is going to get more and more advanced. I mean, there's a scientist in Princeton right now that just 3D printed an ear with an electronic circuit in it.
Oh, yeah. Medicine, we haven't even mentioned. There are a lot of people. I read the article on your site, I think, at Wired.com about a doctor printing out a urethra.
Yes, exactly.
What?
I mean, so, like, let's say, you know, right now what can already happen is, let's say you had a bone destroyed in an accident. You can have that 3D printed in metal should you want to. And that's technology that's actively being tested right now. In the future, I think that the greater promise is to create organs and things like that specifically designed for people and that use their, you know, their cellular material as, you know, to help guide the process.
So a 3D printer could use my DNA to create a body part for me?
We're not talking necessarily your DNA, but you can certainly culture things like from your tissues that sort of help create the scaffolding and things like that for a potential organ. You know, those things, you know, scientists believe that those are a couple decades away. You know, right now, those, you know, people are getting closer and closer to printing out organs that actually function.
Oh, I love this so much. And it's such a short distance, isn't it, Cliff, between being a human being standing next to a printer and basically surrendering to our robot overlords? I mean, that's where this is headed, right?
We're all hoping for, right?
What I'm afraid of is that Bean is convinced that this is literally a year from now.
No, I understand it's not. Look, I just am excited.
Well, the funny thing about the future is that it arrives so slowly on a day-by-day basis that you don't even realize that it's there when it's there, right? We already have 3D printing all around us. The fact is it's just going to get more and more profound in its implications.
If somebody would have told you, Kevin, 10 years ago what smartphones in 2013 would do, it would have blown your mind.
Yeah,
I mean,
probably.
Technologies do move fast when people are motivated, and I think this is the kind of technology that has enough going for it that I think there are a lot of people out there right now, wouldn't you think, Cliff, that are figuring out ways to use it that we haven't even imagined yet?
You would like to think so. I mean, this is essentially, you know, you can paint futures in which this really helps create a manufacturing renaissance, for example, in America.
I picture Bean sitting at home with a 3D printer trying to make a 3D fake woman that he can have 3D sex with. That's what
Done.
I picture.
Done. All right, Cliff Kwong, we're going to have to leave it right there. You can follow you on Cliff by your name or at Wired. And, of course, it's Wired.com. We really appreciate the time. I hope we can do it again soon, sir. Thank you.
Thanks for your time, guys.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. Hey. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 856.
You're right. Never.
Got a fun half hour for you coming up straight ahead here on the Kevin and Bean Show, including Would You Like to Take That Back? And a brand new Kevin and Bean scientific survey on the way. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Tuesday.
Speaking of fun, school's back, baby.
Woo-hoo!
Woo!
Yeah!
Woo!
School's back.
That's not
forever.
I think that's how it goes.
Oh. I always enjoyed the first day of school.
You did?
Really?
Yeah, not me. Hated it. Hated it.
Well,
weren't you sad?
We can imagine why you hated it, Kevin.
That summer was over, though?
Yes. Imagine school for Kevin. There's like facts and things you needed to learn.
Books
and words and speaking and reading and all
those
things. And
sitting and being quiet.
Oh, God. It must have been just hell.
It was worthless.
I loved school. I had a good time.
Dork.
Just saying.
I'm just saying.
Can't print a gun. They already did that. Oh, that's absurd. Stupid. There's nothing like listening to the diametrically opposed viewpoints on 3D printing than it was in that segment. No, this doesn't exist. Well, yeah, it does. They've been doing it. Oh, stupid. Anyway, because school is back in session, boys and girls, especially those of you in higher education at your local universities and colleges, you know, your biggest concern is, what am I going to do for textbooks? They're expensive.
Sure.
And that's where Nebo comes in, because Nebo...
What's Nebo?
Nebo is the company that will provide you the ability to rent your textbooks.
Oh, interesting.
Or buy them.
They're stupid expensive. Stupid.
They're crazy expensive. Yeah. And so you can rent them for the semester, and then for a limited cost, you have to pay the whole full fee. And or there's deals where you can get free ones. Only the reason I bring it up is because when you think of going back to college, what do you think of? That's right, Adam
Hot
West.
Chicks?
Adam
what?
West.
What?
That's right, Adam West. That's what you think of.
Who thinks?
What? Adam West is the new spokesperson for Nebo. I couldn't be more excited. You got to see his commercials online, where Adam talks about getting free textbooks, and he's confused. And he doesn't understand what that means. And he thinks it means you just let the textbooks free to roam. He's very confused in this commercial. Here's a little taste.
Fly, little textbook. You're free now. Free as a bird.
Yeah. Free textbooks. Yeah, enter to win them now at your Nebo-powered bookstore or Nebo.com/free.
It doesn't really work that way when he throws the book up in the air and it just lands.
I don't know why you find this so entertaining. I think when older people succumb to Alzheimer's,
how
it's actually
you?
A little bit sad that they no longer know what's going on
how
in the world.
How dare you? Another commercial where Adam tries to decide how to play, whether to rent or buy his books. So he plays rock, paper, scissors with himself, and he keeps tying. It's very entertaining. Anyway, check out YouTube. I just caught that today. I thought I'd let you know. We were talking about Farrah Abraham, the backdoor teen mom. And I announced earlier this week that she was going to get her own radio show on Sirius XM.
Exciting.
And that is happening. That's for real.
Who's going to listen to that?
They just announced the name of the show. The title of it is going to be The Scandal, says Farrah. On The Scandal, we talk about all these silly things that we hear in the media about relationships and whatnot. Oh, that's going to be a good show.
This is destined for greatness.
What can you expect from The Scandal?
celebrity interviews and fun co-hosts for starters.
That's just not good.
I just got my first co-host on board, and my celebrity interviews are scheduling right now.
That isn't good for you.
She tells us. Yeah.
Hmm. For everyone who said to us, oh, yeah, your jobs are over, satellite radio is going to take over the world, just to let you know, Farrah Abraham's got her own show on Sirius.
That's crazy.
XM, that's all you need to know.
The scandal.
Can you imagine? I might have to, this may be the genius move of all time for Sirius XM. I might have to subscribe just so I can hear what that show sounds like. Can you subscribe for a week or as long as that show's going to be on?
A couple days? Yeah. I don't think so. I don't think you can go day to day.
Can I get a couple day package?
I don't think so.
But you can sign up and then cancel after the first month if you want.
Can I?
Try it out. Sure.
Well, it's not going to last a month.
No, that's ridiculous. No.
Speaking of co-hosts, I found this very interesting today. You may remember a while ago we uncovered the very deeply disturbing story about how the Kardashian family was claiming they were tithing 10% of their entire earnings to a church.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then we found out the church that they were giving the money to was a church that was, in fact, co-founded by Kris Jenner.
Mm-hmm. They founded their own church.
And they held the services for that church in a ballroom at a Sheraton.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right?
That thing seemed like a tax dodge, right?
And we said to Harvey Levin, Harvey, TMZ.com, a man who rips back the curtain on the shenanigans of show business, what's about this? And he went,
He didn't really care much.
Didn't care.
Right.
Couldn't get any traction for that. It sounded like a slam dunk 60 minutes type story.
Yeah, I couldn't understand why he wasn't interested. Maybe you want to turn to the Kris Jenner show today. If you want to watch
on
a Fox and see her co-host Harvey Levin with her on the show today. I'm just saying. I'm not saying the two are related. But. I'm just saying. If you're in a court of law and you wanted to perhaps present some evidence that there might be some collusion going on, just saying.
You got it.
Anyway, Kris Jenner is in the news because President Barack Obama last week pretty much slammed the Kardashian clan as creating a culture that is fixated now on wealth and fame over achievement and personal success. He told his audience that there's been a change in culture in America that made his American dream, the one he knew and loved growing up, unrecognizable. The president said there was not the window into the lifestyles of the rich and famous that America has today. Kids weren't monitoring every day what Kim Kardashian was wearing or where Kanye West was going on vacation and thinking that somehow that was the mark of success. Well, Kris Jenner.
But Ralph, let me just interrupt for a second and suggest, though, that the president didn't have access to much modern media in the backwoods of Kenya either. He didn't even get to see a lot of that stuff that we grew up
with. And the Muslims, they don't watch a lot of television.
Absolutely, right?
Right. Yeah, that's true.
So what the hell does he know about the American dream when you're growing up as a kid?
They're all good points. However, Kris Jenner took umbrage to that comment.
Oh.
And she went on her daytime talk show.
Is it on?
Apparently it is on. I did some research, and the show is actually on the air.
Okay.
And she used that as a platform to respond to the president's comments, and she is not pleased. Here's a little piece of what she said.
Kanye West, first of all, doesn't go on vacation, ever. And Kim Kardashian is the hardest working young lady in the world. She never sleeps. She never stops. She never slows down and works so hard for what she's got. So I started thinking about her 10,000-square-foot house, and I thought, wow, her job affords her to live in a 10,000-square-foot house. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, that Mr. President's job affords him to live in a 55,000-square-foot house.
Oh, see?
Oh, snap.
No, she didn't.
Snap.
I'm sorry, what is her job?
You know, Lisa, she worked hard to get all the things that she
has. What's her job?
Which one? Chris or Kim?
Kim.
Kim's job is this one.
Oh my God, Muggs was just doing that in the back too. Well, she is overpaid.
I don't. It depends how good it is.
Well, by the way, Chris has a point because I watched the F tape she made with Ray J.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and she never slept. She
That's
never
true.
Stopped.
That's
she
true.
Never slowed down.
That's
and
right.
And she worked hard
right.
for what she got. So, in essence, Kris Jenner is spot on regarding the talents of her daughter.
And by the way, it's not even a
porn star Kim Kardashian.
Not even an accurate comparison because the president doesn't even own his house.
Of course it's not an accurate comparison. It's Kris Jenner.
Right. There are white folks and then there are ignorant mother like you.
She said, when I grew up, I had my dreams of working hard and succeeding. First of all, what did she do besides marry rich dudes?
Right.
What was her
well,
career?
Well, she pimped her kids. Well, that's true. That's a full-time job. But then she said, I bet President Obama had dreams of like, oh, I'm going to be president and have this wonderful, fabulous life. I was like, do you know what it means to be the president of the United States of America? Would you, any of you in your right mind ever take that job on?
No.
What a nightmare must be every day. What a soul-crushing, just back-breaking, horrible, horrible experience it must be to be the president of this country. Just a brutal, brutal time. Very different.
Yeah, you earn whatever they're paying you if you're the president. That's for sure.
Yeah.
It's hard work.
So he's living in a 50,000-foot square house that he doesn't own and gets kicked out of.
Yeah.
And he's making, what, 250 grand a year?
400 now.
400? Is that what they're the race? Yeah. So, and as far as I know, he never slept with Ray J to get his job.
That's true.
I may be wrong about that. I don't know about the brothers, you know, personal
life. Till that tape comes out. That's going to be shocking.
Oh, Ray J. Right, let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Danny Bonaduce is 54 years old today. John Slattery of Mad Men turns 51. And actress Debbie Mazar is 49. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Yeah, it's so crazy. The dirt's so slippery, then you hit the pavement. Sometimes that's more sticky, sometimes it's slipperier. But there are some good accidents happen in this, and not just with cars on cars. You hit posts or something else, and it seems like avoiding that is the biggest key to winning that race.
Wow. That was A Moment with Kevin.
I have a question for you guys.
I can you
just,
do?
I can hear the line just going out to sea. It's like a deep sea fisherman. This is like a giant tuna just kept taking that bait longer and longer.
What do you think keeps me going after the first half hour of not being able to dig my way out of that hole?
That,
why do I keep trying?
That is a random collection of thoughts and words that no one could decipher.
It's practically a filibuster, first of all, and I just think that you, there's a certain something in you that just won't give up.
But
I think
why?
How are you able to drive into work and pretend to be a professional radio announcer every morning? You're in denial, Kevin.
But then I hear that and I go, what's wrong with that?
One more time.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
That's so crazy. The dirt's so slippery, then you hit the pavement. Sometimes that's more sticky, sometimes it's slipperier. But there are some good accidents happen in this. And not just with cars on cars. You hit posts or something else. And it seems like avoiding that is the biggest key to winning that race.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Not to mention, we're on the phone with Travis Pastrana, and there was no question there.
Nope.
Just it was a
your observation.
It was just observation.
Dirt
on this sport.
Is stickier or slippy? Or
no,
posts,
not a question cars. In there. Not a chance for him to say anything.
I mean, I think what you were the point of it was it's really hard to do what you do. This is a tough race to win. That's what you were trying to say, right?
Right.
There are a lot of things working against you.
Yeah.
Obstacles, like. Other vehicles, the quality of the track. I mean, I think that's all you were trying to. That was the point you were making.
Right. But how did it get from what you just said to what I said in that moment with? That's a huge deterioration.
That's cruel, Bean. That's cruel to succinctly and eloquently state what Kevin was trying to state in his face after we heard that. That's just cruel. That's like, you know what?
Taunting.
You're the guy doing the Lord of the Dance in front of Stephen Hawking. That's who you are.
I'm not trying to.
You are. You're doing a jig. You're doing a jig in front of Stephen Hawking.
Kevin was trying to figure out what he was trying to say. I was just trying to help.
Oh, is this what you're trying to do, Steve? Trying to walk? Trying to dance like this, Stephen Hawking?
You can't do this. You can't do this.
I can't do that the way you are doing it.
I'm already looking forward to our top 10 moments with break that we do in December every year. It's going to be great this year, isn't it?
Right around the corner. Christmas is right around the corner.
Almost here.
It'll be the best ever.
Ralph is here now. Time for another look at the showbiz beat here on a Tuesday morning. Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
It's all Perrygate all morning. All Perrygate.
Why are you coming down on Katy Perry? You love her, Ralph.
I love her bosoms.
I love her bosoms as well.
But this new song she has out, Roar, which sounds basically like every other Katy Perry song you've ever sang or heard.
It does sound like she went back to the lab, the songwriters who write everything on Top 40 Radio right now, and said, just give me one of those.
Well, that was released earlier this week. And then Twitter blew up by everyone saying that song had more than just a little bit in common with the recent single Brave by Sarah Bareilles. And we played a little of that this morning. Can we revisit that real just briefly?
Sure.
Here's the Sarah Brave verse from her song.
You can be amazing. You can turn a phrase into a weapon or a drug.
Okay, now here's the verse from Roar, Katy Perry's new song.
I used to bite my tongue and hold my breath, scared to rock the boat and make a mess.
Similar.
Similar.
How about the choruses? Here's the chorus from Brave.
But I wonder what would happen if you say what you want to say and let the words fall out. Honestly, I want to see you be brave.
Okay, here's the chorus from Roar.
Very similar.
Very similar. Yeah.
But Katy Perry's got the bosoms.
She does have those. And now Dylan Francis has come forward and accused Katy Perry of stealing his video.
What? He's the popular dance artist, right?
That's
Dylan
right.
Dylan Francis, yeah.
He's got a video out there called Messages, which features these emojis.
I don't know what that is.
Those are the little sketches, little cartoon-type images, like emoticons that you use in texting when you're giving messages back.
You see them on Twitter. Sometimes people put a little, you know, a little heart or a little cloud or whatever it is to kind of spice up their tweet.
And so his video is looks like a screen, and you're seeing text go back and forth, and it's using those elements in the video. Her new video for Roar features striking similarities, using the same kinds of emojis and texting back and forth for her video as well.
I'd like to rule in favor of Katy Perry.
Well, Dylan Francis himself on Twitter
Monday
afternoon said, "Hey, Katy Perry, why?" And then posted his video's link and then her video's link and then came back with, "Legitimately, this is so dope that Katy Perry's director thought my video was good enough to rip off." So the gauntlet has been thrown. Now everyone's coming at Katy saying she's influenced by, if not liberally borrowing from, other people's works.
Tough week, by the way, to be reintroduced after a long time away with this new music and then have all this controversy surrounding it.
She'll be performing that new song, Roar, on the VMAs, the MTV Video Music Awards, August the 25th. So
I don't know that it doesn't help, Bean.
Maybe.
I think this is one of those examples of...
No such thing as bad publicity?
Correct.
But this
you're,
isn't
you're very welcome, because I don't have the kind of time to wait around to hear you try to slog through that colloquialism.
It would have taken me about 19 minutes.
It's one of those times when there's no bad, only the good comes from people talking about publicity that you may perceive as bad, but it's don't hit the posts. That's how you win the race. I don't have time for that. Just don't have time to get on the party bus at this point.
Kevin just needs to raise his hand, and then Ralph will say whatever Kevin would have said then.
That's right. Like a ventriloquist act. He's going to sit on my knee and just move his mouth, and I'm going to talk.
The next time I get stuck, can I raise my hand?
Yes, you can.
Okay, good.
Yes. It'll be like a press conference. Yes,
what do you,
man in the front row there. Your question.
What do you think? What do you think about when you drive home after the show every day, Kevin?
Nailed it! Congratulations to George Lucas and his new bride, Melody Hobson. They have a new baby girl. They welcomed her into the family last Friday. George, 69-year-old George Lucas.
What could go wrong there?
What could go wrong? We'll be back focused on diapers and drool with his new wife. She was provided to them via surrogate, which explains why she didn't look pregnant at the wedding. But apparently everyone's happy and healthy and very looking forward to starting their new family at 69.
Enjoy them while they have them. How old's the mom?
Well, they have
the wife.
Do
we know?
She's early 40s, I think.
All right, so she'll be around. At least the kid will have one parent.
That's right. And Amanda Bynes is on the move.
Excellent.
Radar Online says that her mother, Lynn Bynes, is using her power of conservatorship to relocate her daughter to a more private treatment facility. Amanda has been undergoing psychiatric care for the past 2 weeks and is said to be on the mend. She's on her meds and apparently responding well to treatment. And the judge granted Lynn the power to control her decisions about her health and finances till at least September the 30th. So they're going to move her to a more private facility and hopefully get her even better care. She's been reunited, by the way, with Sherbert, her Pomeranian that she set on fire. So what can go on there? She set it on fire.
She
Lisa.
Didn't set it on fire.
She did. She torched that dog.
How happy is the dog to see his owner again?
No word on the Sherbert's reaction, but maybe we can get her on the phone.
I like it. We can.
We can spin the wheel and see if Sherbert the Pomeranian comes up. Don't write that down, Kevin.
If I could spell Pomeranian, I would.
You could spell Sherbert. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actress Debbie Mazar is 49 years old today. Actor John Slattery of Mad Men fame is 51. Actor, radio show host, 70s kid star Danny Bonaducci turns 54 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. A bunch of comedians on tomorrow's show. We have Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage. We have Joe Rogan on the program.
Oh, great.
Talking about his questioning everything.
His sci-fi show, Joe Rogan Questions Everything.
Unreal.
Now how you feel, Ralph.
Yeah, see?
And comedian Eddie Ift in studio. Tomorrow morning as well.
Hey.
And Ralph
hey,
finishes
hey,
my thoughts. Yes, Pete.
Hey. Just added to the show tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock this time. Our friend Christopher Mintz Plotz is going to be here talking about Kick-Ass 2.
Awesome.
How about that? We love him.
Do we have to call him Place like Dave does?
No.
King of Mexico?
Christopher Mintz Plotz. He's coming on.
So that's tomorrow.